future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Today's show is going to have a slightly different format. We have the CEO of Coinbase UK, Zeeshan Feroz. Zeeshan is going to be joining us in just a quick second. But before we jump into the interview, I just want to say a big thank you to Coinbase for agreeing to come on the show today. A massive thank you to Nicole, who made this all happen. And I just want to also say it was a privilege to have Zeeshan on the show today to hear his level of insight and experience. And I hope that you, the listener, will have some value from today's show as well. So let's get down to business and let's jump into the interview. So on the show today, we have Zeeshan Feroz, CEO of Coinbase UK. Zeeshan, please give the story of your journey from traditional finance to now the CEO of Coinbase UK.
I'd love to say it's an interesting journey where I somewhere in a garage one day had this great idea that I want to change the world, but it's actually been quite organic in terms of what I've how I ended up at Coinbase. I've been in traditional payments for about 10 years, working in established at some banks as well, and mostly in the city. When I first transitioned over to a tech company called Tilt, looking after their payments and compliance infrastructure. And we sold that company to Airbnb about 2 years ago. And it was at that point that I was exploring whether I joined the Airbnb team or if I explore other opportunities. And Coinbase was looking to grow into Europe at the time. So I got talking to the team and it got me really excited about it. I did a master's in algorithm design and I studied crypto as part of that. So I have a background in education in crypto, but that was way back in 2005, way before anybody could make any money in this. That was a very geeky subject to take. So Coinbase kind of gave me the opportunity to marry together both the geek in me from the crypto side and what I'd learned in financial services.
That's an amazing story. And as you just said, your company that you were working for, was it in San Francisco that was acquired by Airbnb? And
it was.
And at the time, right, that positioned yourself perfectly because you were looking for a job. And Coinbase was at the time where they were looking to expand their operation. And as you've previously said in some of your other interviews, it was good timing on your behalf.
Yeah, right place, right time, eh?
Perfect. Okay, cool. So in this space, we're still waiting for the wall of institutional capital to enter. What do you think is currently holding this back? And how is Coinbase catering towards this?
Well, I think given how you describe it, by its very nature, it's a wall and it takes a while to move. So right. I think what we are seeing is actually things were put in motion towards the end of last year that will start to surface probably later this year. Again, just because of the nature of how some of these contracts and relationships work. But I do think that, you know, if we want to catalyze this, there's probably two things that will help do that. Number one for me is regulation. I think the large institutions, they have all sorts of requirements around counterparties that they can work with and the types of instruments and partners, etc. And what we have today is effectively an unregulated space, which makes it very hard to manage counterparty risk. So I think the biggest thing that will help this space move forward is regulation that starts to build and that starts to classify crypto as one thing or the other, and then starts to create a standard for how businesses should operate in this space. I think that will go a long way in generally cleaning up the space in some ways, but also helping the institutional money move in. And the second piece for me to this is just infrastructure, things like custody, for example. I think having the basic infrastructure to be able to hold your assets, which are very different to traditional assets, is a key part. And we at Coinbase, I think we're trying to address both of these as best as we can, both on the regulatory side by engaging with regulators, both at a national level as well as at a European level, and then trying to build as much of the infrastructure that we believe is needed to make that transition.
Interesting. And what do you think it would take for a fund manager in the City of London, which you've been in the industry for? What do you think it would take for them to be able to allocate funds into the crypto market? And what is Coinbase doing to help that? Because what I've noticed compared to other exchanges out there, I'm not going to mention any names, but I think Coinbase is very flawed in their thinking. And not only with their approach to execution, but with other businesses out there. You've opened up a custody solution. You guys have done many other angles of the business. I think you guys are really kind of pushing the mark of forward and helping the institutional money come in. And I know you guys also have the ability to try and bring that in as well. So what have you seen from the institutional side and how has that looked thus far?
I think the most common theme and perhaps the most exciting part about it is when I have these conversations with investment banks and fund managers, they're actually being driven by their customers to allocate a percentage of their portfolios to crypto. So it's actually being driven by the end consumers who want exposure to crypto. And it may be a small percentage of their portfolio, but there's certainly appetite. And that's what's driving the institutions to start exploring this. So frankly speaking, I think that really has been one strain that has been common in all of my conversations with institutions is that the need is flowing from the customer.
Okay, interesting. And what would you say are the fundamental concepts that drive Coinbase forward? Because I know you've been quite public in speaking about them as well. So it'd be interesting to hear them from the horse's mouth.
I think we're a very mission-driven business, and I've never really worked anywhere before where what we want to do as a business, it flows from the bottom up. So everyone in the organization is motivated and pulling in the same direction, and that mission is reflected throughout the business, So what the mission is to create an open financial system. And what we mean by that is to create a system that gives that is accessible and open to everyone anywhere in the world. And what that starts as our kind of North Star. And we try and reverse engineer from there what we think the path to that looks like. And what you see in the business today is we've started maybe another half a dozen businesses in the last 6 months and acquired quite a few as well. But you know, the motivating factor for all of this is to try and find ways to get there. And it starts both right from the retail side of things. So how do we increase adoption? How do we change the narrative from this being, say, just an investment right. instrument to a form of money, something you can use to pay for things, something you can use to store value, something you can use to prove ownership. And then at the other end of the spectrum, staying on this end of the spectrum, so we've got the retail products, but then we've also got things like Coinbase Commerce, which is a merchant solution. And that allows people to, again, be able to make purchases using crypto. And as we move along this spectrum to the institutional side, we have things like we've broken out what used to be GDAX into Coinbase Pro and our Prime services, as well as Coinbase Markets. We have started our custody solution. We've also got a venture fund on that side, which where we can't build something ourselves, which is helping accelerate businesses that are aligned with where we want to be. So everything we do is ultimately aligned with where we want to see this space in say 20 years time.
Interesting. And on a personal level, Zeeshan, I mean, You know, what excites you most about the blockchain revolution? What gets you up in the morning?
How long do we have?
As long as you want.
I think there's a lot of things. So let me call out a couple of things. One thing that I find particularly interesting is the tokenization of assets and securities. I think just being able to represent anything, whether it be a piece of music or a piece of art, and to be able to establish ownership and be able to transfer that ownership in a digital manner, I think that does away with a lot of the challenges we've had with, piracy and I guess some of the more nastier things that plague the internet in general. And it extends beyond digital goods for me. It extends to things like proving ownership of assets like houses or gold or your car. And I think what that means ultimately is being able to represent ownership in this way and be able to transfer it seamlessly. It creates opportunities for efficiencies in society in a way that we haven't had before. I went through a house purchase a couple of years ago, and anybody that's bought a house in the UK would probably relate to this. It is such a complicated process with so many people involved. And I couldn't help but wonder that surely there has to be a better way of doing this. Surely there is, you know, something. And blockchain for me was one of the things where if we're able to establish ownership, because they do a lot of back checks on the property and ownership and all sorts of stuff. If you're able to store it all on chain and at the time of purchase transfer it over, there's an opportunity to make that much easier. So I think one, the tokenization of digital and physical assets is something that I find exciting. The second thing that probably gets me out of bed and is very sci-fi in my opinion is the concept of a DAO. And for everyone's benefit, a DAO is a decentralized autonomous organization. Isn't it cool that a business runs itself without anybody?
I think decentralization is key in many different aspects of business. But yeah, I agree. It's amazing that you have these businesses that run on a decentralized level whereby everyone's based all over the world. The trust isn't needed. And I think that's the future.
I would agree.
Awesome. So just to kind of follow up on that, you know, what does a decentralized future look like for you, Zeeshan? Because you mentioned property, and I think that's, you know, a great aspect of, let's say, supply chain. But what does a decentralized future look like to you, let's say, in the next kind of 10 years or so? Where do you see it going? What is your vision? And what do you see happening?
I think when you start to think about blockchain in general and you know, supply chain logistics and other aspects of its applications ranging from, say, identity to medical records, ultimately I see this as being a revolution that ends up making our lives easier, making our lives simpler, doing away with some of the challenges we have in terms of, again, proving your identity is one great example of that. So I see us being able to transact and to interact with people in a way that perhaps is not possible today. I think the financial system probably is the one that will be the most disrupted by it. I think it creates, you know, previously we've had to place trust in centralized banks for them to manage our monetary system. But having the ability to have a decentralized system where consumers have a choice on where and how they store their value is revolutionary. I think, you know, in 20 years' time, people born in the UK, they may have a choice on how they want to save their value. It may be the pound sterling or a digital version of the pound sterling. It'll almost certainly be a digital version of the pound sterling, or Bitcoin or something else that exists at the time. So being able to choose how, you know, your story of value and what kind of monetary policy applies to it, I think we'll go down the path of, say, in the same fashion that, say, the airline industry went from national carriers right. to being privatized. I think what you're looking at is money being privatized. And that probably is the biggest
interesting thing. And on a kind of a side point there, Coinbase is well known for its wide-ranging business model. Can you speak about a possibility of a Bitcoin ETF? I know it's been circulating around the internet. There's lots of different forums, lots of different chats. Would love to hear your opinion on this.
I think I can't directly comment on a Bitcoin ETF and what our intentions are. I think, you know, like you say, if there is an opportunity for us to move this space forward, then odds are we've probably explored it and have conversations around it. It doesn't necessarily mean we have plans or don't have plans. So I can't particularly comment on an ETF. And I think the idea of an ETF is another example, another vessel for allowing, you know, more money to flow into this space. And I think an ETF will happen when the space is mature enough. But we continue to explore every possible way of moving this space forward.
Absolutely. And Coinbase, in general, is, I think, one of the pioneers in the business. Absolutely. You know, you guys have really driven forward many different angles. And I think you guys are really kind of leaders in what you do. While you're on the show, is there anything you'd like to share exclusively of the SVK crypto community out there?
I think that's the downside of being being an open, transparent organization. There's rarely anything exclusive to share. As soon as we think about it, we usually try and publicize it through whether it's a Medium post or through engagement with our community. So I don't think there's anything in particular around that. We continue to push forward and grow as a business in this space, particularly in the UK and the rest of EU. We've one of the most recent developments as of day before yesterday was we've just launched our pound sterling trading pairs on Coinbase Pro and Prime.
Congratulations.
As well soon, I think. Thank you. It's you know, that's kind of come from our relationship with the banks here in the UK, and it's pretty exciting to be one of the first businesses to have access to sterling rails. So hopefully we can help make the journey and the experience for UK consumers when it comes to interacting with crypto.
I think at this current point in time, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are the only ones that can accept deposits in sterling at this current point in time, right?
Oh, sorry, you broke up.
Sorry about that. At this current point in time, I think Coinbase is the only exchange out there that can accept sterling. And I've also, because I'm a user of your platform, I can also withdraw the same day. I can withdraw the money back into my UK bank account as well, which is insane. I think you guys are the first to be able to do this.
We are. And, you know, it's not even the same day. Usually it should be in about 20 minutes, 24/7. You should be able to deposit and withdraw funds out of Coinbase. So UK users have one of the best experience of all Coinbase customers in terms of being able to move funds on and off the platform. And we're continuing to invest in that more. So I want to make it... I want to build optionality into this. I want to give you the choice to withdraw and deposit and interact with crypto as you feel comfortable. So we have, you know, examples of this is obviously our integrations into faster payments, but also partnerships around gift cards that we announced back in August. And I think we've got a couple more interesting things lined up for Q4 this year.
That's amazing. So, and where can people stay up to date with Coinbase's activities? Is it Twitter? Is there a blog? What can people do out there?
Our blog is probably the one that's the best place. It kind of aggregates news from across all of the different business units into one resource. So I'd recommend our blog.
Amazing. Well, listen, Zeeshan, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know you're incredibly busy and we really appreciate your time and attention.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Remember, as always, if you enjoyed today's show, remember to subscribe to the podcast and remember to join us on our social channels, Telegram, SVK Crowd. You can also follow us on Twitter at SVK _crypto. And you can also email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I got to bounce.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.